Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Oh.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming at you with what I'm very excited about being the third weekly episode for you. So usually, obviously, before this, doing two episodes a week. But thanks to my good new friend, Matt, over there at the Great Deception Podcast, which you need to be listening to if you're not already. The guy does deep dives very similar to my show. And I'm very, very excited that he started a show. Finally, I was, you know, I'm not the only person, but, you know, myself and a few others were trying to convince him to start a podcast. He did it, and he's already bringing people together like this in this Master Debaters deal that we're doing every Monday night. You can tune into his feed, I believe right around, Tuesday morning, maybe Tuesday afternoon or so, and you'll get all this content. But I put it out on my feed as well here. Of course, through Dangerous World, I got to do it. And so, this is like a think tank that we have. This is like the Bilderberg or Bohemia Grove. But instead of fucking kids and planning war crimes, we're throwing around great ideas. And we're having a lot of fun doing it. Revolving guests on this show this week, we had Ron from New England of the Wicked Planet podcast. Phenomenal show. Great friend of Dangerous World. And speaking of friends, I mean, these are all my friends, man. I got Mark on this conversation with Matt and myself here. Mark from My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, also the founder and the leader of Alt Media United. Great dude to chat with, and always brings a unique perception. Really, really fun dude. Colorado Dank, who is the only one on here that doesn't have a podcast, but he drops some serious knowledge on Instagram. Colorado Dank 99. And last but not least, dude, another up-and-comer in the podcast game is Kyle from the Big Dumb Podcast. He's half of that show with his buddy Puds, who I infamously called Spuds. I felt like a fool. But, if you've ever had a conversation over Zoom, it's difficult to understand what people are saying sometimes. So I thought that Puds was Spuds, but it's actually Puds. So don't ask how he got that name. I have no fucking idea. Couple of great dudes, and like I said, Matt, the guy that really, this is the brainchild of Matt, go find him at the Great Deception Podcast. Phenomenal show, great content, deep dive similar to this show. And the reason that I really wanted to do this intro, because you're going to get a somewhat of an introduction from everybody once the actual meat of the episode starts, is that I got the hoodies out, finally, the $35 hoodies on dangerousworldstore.com. As you probably know, I'm shadow banned heavily on Instagram. That's the main way that I was marketing, getting things out, not only to sell, but to talk about new episode, topics and things that are being released. It was a good way to, interact with you. But this is now my primary way to interact with you all. I get 20 times the reach I do on this show than I do on Instagram, even before being shadow banned. And now it's easily 100 times more. So I just wanted to let you guys know, head over to dangerousworldstore.com. If you want different color ink, or you want different color fabric on your hoodies, the pullover hoodies with drawstrings, kind of the standard hoodie, very comfortable though. I use quality hoodies, and we get them to you very inexpensive because, as you know, I cut out that middleman, dude. But anyway, if you want different fabric or different ink, let me know. Buy it on the website and then either Instagram me or email me at dangerousworldpodcast@gmail.com. The Instagram is, of course, dangerousworldpod. Email me. You can cash at me if you don't want to go through the website. We can do this any way that you prefer. But I want to get a lot of these hoodies out. I think that there's some good messages on there. Took the three top t-shirt designs that are selling through the website, and I put those on hoodies. So that hoodie season is popping up, making them very inexpensive, even though I could charge probably $50 for these hoodies. 35 just felt right. I like how it adds up to that 8 numerology. That's very positive, right? So go over there, check it out. Let me know if you want something. If you want something special, I can do that easily, man, because I know the guy that prints these. It's me, okay? So enjoy this episode with Matt from The Great Deception, Ron from Wicked Planet, Mark from My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, Kyle from the Big Dumb Podcast, and also Colorado Dank, good friend of all of ours. So thank you, guys. Take care. I'll see you very soon.
All right, and welcome to another Monday Master Debaters. We got a great group of guests tonight. We got Ryan from Dangerous World Podcast. We got Kyle from Big Dumb Podcast. Mr. Ron from the Wicked Planet Podcast. And Jason, a.k.a. Mr. Colorado Dank 99 on Instagram. How we doing, Ryan? We'll pass it around from you.
Dude, I am just excited to be doing this again, man. The last one was so fun. And I mean, it's just interesting to get all these minds together and just kind of break down the chaos that happened the previous week. You know, predictions for the future are always fun. But man, I just can't thank you enough for putting this whole thing together, dude. This was your brainchild. So thank you, Matt.
Hey, thanks for joining. Kyle, how's it going, man?
Oh, dude, I'm doing great. Thanks again for having me on. Like I said, when we started, I just had you on our show. So it's like, you know, great to talk to you, like, you know, back to back. And then, but yeah, dude, I didn't know this was the Master Debaters. I jerked off right before this. So,
premature.
Yeah, dude, I was just like, I was anxious, you know, I was like, fuck, I'll rub one out real quick. And, but I can get it up. We'll be good to go.
We're ready. All right, cool. And anyone that hasn't listened yet, check out the Big Dumb Podcast. Myself and Nico from Upstate Unconventional were on there this week, and it was a fun one. Ron, how we doing, sir?
Sorry, I'm trying to get used to this new computer. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me come on tonight. It was kind of interesting to see how it was going to go. How it was going to go along. Great name, by the way. What is it? The Master Debaters.
Master Debaters.
Yeah, no, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. And Jay, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, definitely. We've
been talking about it for a minute, but I'm here.
Yeah, we talk all the time on all of it, actually, on Instagram. So it's nice to finally get together. And that's what kind of wanted to do here is just get people together and, you know, have a little open discussion. If anybody's got anything they want to go through, you get plenty of opinions. And we got into some fun stuff last week, and I can only imagine what we're going to get in this week.
Yeah, it was very entertaining for sure.
Hell yeah.
Has anyone got anything you want to throw out there?
Well, dude, I'll start with something real quick, man. I mean, you know, the whole vaccine thing, obviously, we hate starting with this, but I mean, we had the dude die today, man. His name is slipping my mind right now because I've been drinking.
Mr. Colin Powell.
Dude, what is up with that, right? I mean, it's very interesting because I have some serious thoughts on what is the narrative. I understand people die, right? But there's got to be something with this individual. He's got access to top line healthcare.
Well, he was 84 and he had cancer. So
sure, but they said that he died of COVID, right? They didn't say that he died of cancer.
Of course, that's a nice PR thing.
Complications of COVID.
Yeah. It's like everybody else that died with COVID with four other comorbidities, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, same thing with Norm MacDonald, right? He died of cancer, but they didn't blast that out. They could have easily played that off as, you know, the death from we know what. But it's just very interesting that, you know, this black conservative dies of this whole thing. I feel like there's got to be some underlying message there, similar with something that I was talking about with Ron a little bit earlier today, that a few of the policemen from the January 6th insurrection committed suicide, six of them, right? I mean, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I didn't see that anywhere. Of course, I've been so busy, but That's really interesting, Ryan, that you said that. Before we jump on that, though, the thing with Colin Powell is this is a perfect opportunity for them to push their narrative because he was a high profile person in the government and, you know, a conservative, like you say. And it would be like, hey, you know, he got the vaccine. It could have been worse. You know, that one kills me. Oh, yeah. Well, my dad died of COVID, but he was vaccinated. It could have been worse. So I'm thinking they're just using these high profile deaths. And I have a feeling we're going to start seeing more and more of those over the next couple of months, because they're going to say, you know, oh, you know, granny died or this person died or, you know, these nobody people. But when a high profile person like General Colin Powell, who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I mean, that's as high as it gets in the military. And, you know, showing that he died of COVID, you know, but then you kind of look at that, well, maybe they probably should keep that quiet, but they're pushing that, you know, he was fully vaccinated, but, you know, we've been seeing this right along. It's called the rare breakthrough cases,
yeah,
which are not rare, like in any way. They ain't rare at all. You see, my youngest brother had one of those rare breakthrough cases. You know, he was in the hospital for a week, coughing up blood clots, and his heart swelled up to the size of a football. You know, he's in his 40s and fully vaccinated. So, you know, there's nothing rare about it. It's just bullshit. Well, but this thing about the six cops, though, that's pretty interesting.
How could it be worse than killing somebody? I mean, does COVID have to like rape you and then kill you or something? Like, how can it be worse than
well, that's that? The point.
I know, and it's just fascinating to me. But yeah, I hate focusing on this stuff, man, but the propaganda is just so real. I see Mark is hopping on here now, so really excited to have him on board too.
So one aspect that I with the whole Colin Powell thing, I don't know if you guys also heard that Mr. Billary Clinton has been in the hospital.
UTI.
Yeah, is that what they said it was? A UTI? Mm-hmm. So I, you know, in my conspiratorial brain, I'm like, oh, he's already dead or he's dying. And they're saving that for when something else is going on. So my whole thing with this Colin Powell thing is like, yeah, he probably did die, but like, it's all you're seeing in the news. Like, what else is going on today? You know, we got the inflation, we got the supply shortages, we got all this stuff going on. And it's like, you know, are they, in my opinion, I think they're going to, you know, they're lining Bill up to die. I mean, he looks like shit lately, if you haven't seen it.
Looks like a zombie.
He's looked like shit for 30 years. Hey, you know, they're hiding the fact that, of course, now China's denying it, but China shot off this hypersonic missile that had nuclear capabilities that flew around the earth and then came back and landed 25 miles from where it took off or something like that. And now, of course, and I don't believe any of this, but our government military is saying, wow, we have no idea how to go after that. Well, we're not prepared for that. I really seriously doubt that.
Yeah. I call it bullshit, yeah, dude. We've got way more stuff than what we the public know.
I don't think we should worry about China, to be honest, Lou.
No.
That's all an agenda to take our minds off of what is actually going on.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, if you look at the whole China thing, though, I think me and Ryan talked about it when he was on my show, but it kind of is it kind of feels like a slow attack, a slow invasion. Like, you look at COVID, you look at the financial crisis that has caused, you look at all the immigration, the open borders, and not just of people from Southern America or, you know, South America, but you got people from the Middle East, from China, from the Pacific. Everyone's coming over here right now. And then all these things are being, we learned during this pandemic that China has infiltrated all of our institutions, all our universities, all our science capabilities, and even the military. And you're like, okay, this like that's like a slow invasion. And then you hear, oh, troops at the Canadian border. You know, Canada's sold out to fucking whatever. You know, to China. So it's like, what is going on? I mean, as much as like, yeah, we shouldn't worry about China, it's kind of like, well, maybe we should worry. I don't know.
Well, and that goes back to the whole Yuri Bresmanov, right, where he said there's four steps to taking over America, basically, and turning us communist. And one of them was infiltration, right? And get into the education system, and they corrupt it that way. And then all it takes is one generation And next thing you know, you have a whole different line of thinking. And, you know, we're beyond that point right now, right? Because they've infiltrated for over 20 years. And so, yeah, from that standpoint, and is it the Chinese or is it someone above the Chinese, right? Mm-hmm. And the Chinese are the front men, the face for it. And that's what I really think. There's, you know, you got the global parasites, and they're like the puppet masters, right? And they pick the boogeyman, and they pick where we're going. Like they're the same people who've created every war for the last, you know, 200 years.
It was Kim Jong-un. Now it's China. If you look back at Switzerland, that's where everything's being cooked up. You got CERN, you got the World Economic Forum. You got Greta Thunberg and all this stuff going on with the, I already forgot what it's called right now, but they have a
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that speech is so bad. Exactly. Yeah, you she's know, out so, of Sweden, all the same areas. And yeah, the mm-hmm. Switzerland with the Swiss Guard, they protect the Pope. I mean, they're very tied in with the Vatican and all that stuff. So it's interesting to bring that up. But yeah, man, there's so many things going on where it is very difficult to focus on one thing. And that's why I think it's just kind of fascinating to kind of dive into like the older topics of like, how do we get here? The technocratic type aspects to it. Matt, I know you're fascinated with like the old world stuff, whether it be like Tataria, World Fairs. Mark, I know, is very similar as well. And then Jason is always really into like how it ties into like the religious cult, you know, like the AI gods and all that kind of stuff. And then Ron,
I was actually just about to say that.
Yeah, dude. And like how Ron, I mean, he focuses a lot on, and not in his podcast, but, you know, he is very knowledgeable with the Third Reich. And then the theory of the Fourth Reich. And that is so critical to know how we have gotten to this point right now, because the Third Reich plays a major aspect to it. And so does everything else I mentioned. So it's just it's a weird deal. Do we find ourselves in very interesting times for sure?
Yeah. Hey, Ron, well, I have a question about World War II. I've been seeing some memes lately and about Hitler taking over the Rothschilds banks back then. Was that something that actually took place, or is that one of those historical memes that's going around?
Well, I think you'll find that Hitler took control of all the banking, and that's why it went from the Deutschmark to the Reichsmark. So it was the Third Reich dollar. Now, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Hitler was a Rothschild. Mm-hmm. So
there we go.
So, yeah. So I mean, that could have been just in cahoots with them, of course, because at the end of the war, called the Reichsmark was worthless. So that was probably pretty much a fiat currency also, you know, because they took and stole all that, and we call it Nazi gold, but they stole all the jewels and all the treasures from the Jewish people. And so they had tons and tons of gold, which has actually to this day not been recovered. And so there's no telling where that is. Rumors are some of it's in Argentina.
Under the Vatican.
Some is at the Vatican, yeah, because they were in tight with those guys too. But the thing is, whether or not he took over any Rothschild central banks, you know, that's nothing I really ever came up in any of my research on it. And I've done a ton, but he did, and I won't say privatize the banks, but you know, that was socialism, national socialism is what, basically what Nazi stands for, and them taking control of the banks and taking control of businesses and things like that. It just followed the whole socialist way of doing things. And so that wouldn't surprise me, but in my view, he was backed by the Rothschilds. So the Rothschilds are probably, you know, just say, hey, if you want to take these banks over, you know, we could just do this, because the Rothschilds were going to make money. They made money on World War II on all fronts.
Yep.
World War II just made them richer.
Well, I mean, they were the Morgans and all of them. Yeah.
Ford, Henry Ford.
Yep.
That didn't hurt his pocketbook any, you know, because the Germans, when you see any old pictures of any, the German, like when they're on the move and they're, you know, they're moving lots of armor and troops, all them trucks are Fords. And Ford got into huge trouble with the government. But of course, that kind of got swept under the rug because of the upper Bush. Was it Prescott Bush?
Prescott.
Prescott Bush, which was George Herbert Walker Bush Senior's father. George W.'s grandfather. But, you know, getting back to the other thing, so this is an invasion by infiltration, right? And then have you heard the theory that a lot of these shipping containers, these shipping, shipping, you know, cargo ships that are out off the coast, people are starting to say, well, who's to say this couldn't be a Trojan horse? Who's to say there isn't all kinds of Chinese troops like hanging out there?
In the containers, like just waiting?
The container ships, yeah.
Oh shit.
It's just a theory. It's something that's running around.
I like that a lot though. That's interesting. Okay.
So when you look at the map, when you look at the map of all these cargo ships all over the ports, it's basically surrounded the United States, right? Because there's no other way you can invade the United States. You couldn't do it by air, you can't do it by sea. It's too far. Our defenses are too strong. Our Navy is too strong and our Air Force is too strong. You could not do that. But when you look at the maps, it even has like the Great Lakes is full of cargo ships. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the St. Lawrence River, but I've crossed it many times. The St. Lawrence River is absolutely huge. And they're bringing them cargo ships right down to St. Lawrence, past Montreal, past Ontario, and into the Great Lakes. And who's to say, you know, that say there were Chinese troops of some sort in some of these container ships? I mean, you can make a container ship look like a container ship and it not be a container ship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all you're going to do is have the outside containers that just looks legit. But who's to say the inside of it's not like a complete, like a military cargo ship?
Well, and Ron, that gets
Chinese people inside.
What's that up, Mark?
Into one of those interesting conspiracy theories from last year, Ron, where they were talking about these Club K missiles. Did you ever hear about those?
Hmm.
What it is it's a missile inside a cargo ship, a cargo container.
And oh yes,
it can be launched at any time. And you know, back in the Q days, that was one of the big fears, was that there were these cargo ships strategically placed around the United States, and all it took was, you know, China to say go, and they would go off all over the place. And
see, my only issue with the whole theory, as much as like I love it, I'm like, that's awesome, you know, like if that's how you were going to invade, that'd be a great way to do it. Is like, we wouldn't, someone in our, with our 19 intelligence agencies, someone would have to have picked that up. You know what I mean? With customs and shit. Like, they know what's coming over before
Coast Guard.
It even hits the... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Coast Guard, who's the best fighters in the world. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, they're smart. Yeah. They don't let cocaine come through unless it's been meant to come through.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole point, man. It's like, how like, this is why these Capitol officers died. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there's kind of like this unspoken agreement that you can't really talk about this kind of shit, right? I mean, this is like what feeds into the theories. I'm not worried about the Chinese personally. Like, you know, a lot of people say that they're very disciplined and all this stuff. I don't think, I mean, first of all, they're much smaller than we are. I know that's kind of like a stereotype, but it's true. They're not strong. They're not disciplined. I know.
Hold on. Are we going to make a sweeping statement that 3 billion people are not tall, they're not strong, and they're not smart,
and they have small hands, according to
I will make a sweeping statement. It's not 3 billion. I think it's like 2.
Well, you do need to take into the concept that they're using CRISPR technology on their soldiers to make super soldiers, so size really won't matter if that's what they're doing.
But so if we're talking about the CCP, right, because the CCP is the party that is in control over there. How many people are in China? It's about 2 billion. Ron or Mark, you might know a more accurate number.
Like 1.6,
1.7.
Yeah.
That's true.
A joke, but the number of people in China is immense. And I will say, you know, I've had a Taoist monk on my podcast before, and there's no such thing as a weak Taoist monk. So
sure, but he's not a CCP supporter.
Right. But
hey, did you see that show that North Korea put on the other day? That guy.
Yeah, dude, such bullshit. How is that going to actually be put into practical, like military combat? No one's going to be running up with a board for these dudes to break with their heads, right? I mean, it's insane. But like my point here with the CCP was that out of these like 1. Whatever billion, let's just make it easy. Let's say 2 billion people in China, because we can't trust Chinese numbers and all that. 1% of those people are active supporters of the CCP. So what is that? Is that 20 million or 40 million? What is that out of all that? So my point here is that all of those people that are active supporters of that mindset of the Chinese Communist Party, I mean, dude, they don't have anything for us, man. Like, because not even all those people can get over here. First of all, think of the logistics of getting those people over to the United States. I don't care if they're coming over on boats. I mean, this is just fear porn, dude. It really is. And I think that it's a crazy idea. We have the biggest standing army here in the United States, and those are just supporters of the freaking NRA.
Well, you know actually, what I mean? I will say, though, I think you're wrong on the standing army part. China has a standing army of 200 million.
They tell you that.
They tell us that. And, well, I had this like evangelist Christian guy tell me one time. He sat me down in his, he was my boss at the time, and he just sat me down and he was like, the end times are here. They're coming. You know, the Bible talks about how there's an army of 200 million will, you know, invade the free land or whatever. And he's like, guess what? China has an army of 200 million. And I was like, oh God. Okay, dude. But I mean, I didn't look into it after that. I just took this guy's word for it, but you're right. It is. Who knows? Who fucking knows anything? Who knows if they have, you know, billions of people there? It could be, you know, like North Korea, they lie all the time because it's just a propaganda state. And so, you know, China is to an extent as well. You know, they got some hot chicks over there. But that's a plus. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. If you don't like asses.
I think what Ryan means, Kyle, is that we have probably 150 million gun owners in the United States.
I see what you mean.
So he said, when he said standing army, I'm pretty sure, Ryan, that's what you meant, right? Like, so we have, well, there's, what, 200 million guns in the United States?
I think it's more.
More
than there are people.
Yeah.
More guns.
So you have the general public that's armed and, you know, patriotic and would definitely stand up if anything came down, if push came to shove and it was any type of invasion on our soil. I mean, I know I for one would be part of that. So so then you put that on top of the military that we have, which has our military budget is higher than most countries' GDPs. You know what I mean? I mean, it's insane what our military budget is. So I'm not really concerned with anybody invading the homeland. And if they did, well maybe it's something that we need. Maybe it's something that we can do to straighten a few things out.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you should ask this question.
From the Art of War, Sun Tzu, okay? Famous Chinese philosopher. He said the general rule for use of the military is that it is better to keep a nation intact than to destroy it. It is better to keep an army intact than to destroy it, and better to keep a division, and he goes on and on. But the point is, we're already cooked. They've already invaded us. Look at our political, social, economic system. They're not going to come in with a bunch of karate kung fu guys beating us up. You know, like Ryan said, they're tiny and weak. They know that. they're going to lose. We got guns, but they're a lot smarter than that. They're not going to do that.
But then think about this too, Mark. What's the number one aspect of the Art of War? And I think I said this last time we actually had this conversation on the Master Debaters here, is appear weak when you're strong. They're appearing strong as fuck right now. So that leads me and many others to believe that they're very weak. They just had a massive real estate shell company fall, similar to our 2008 Enron scandal go down. The Three Gorges Dam is supposedly not from like the Global Times or any of these Chinese mouthpieces, but from like inside supposed like, you know, good guys inside China. They're saying that the Three Gorges Dam is faulty. Their infrastructure in China is weak. So
they've been writing checks all over the world that they can't cash. I mean, their projects in the Middle East and in Africa.
Before World War II, they were essentially in the same state of a country as what we would call a third world country today. You know, not to make them look bad or anything. That's not necessarily a bad thing being developed or underdeveloped.
I mean, a tiny island nation literally fucked them to oblivion, Japan and China. Right.
So we got to understand that these, you know, and my boy up here, Matt, knows because we're in the same state, I believe, or at least close. You know, these Yale folks down in Connecticut, where I'm from, They've been in cahoots with China since the Dutch East Indies Company, which, by the way, was the first group to ever settle Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts, the Dutch. You know, they've been all over the world. They created the, you know, Wall Street system, the pseudo casino system of, you know, Wall Street with this Dutch East India Company. So they've been manipulating, obviously, Skull and Bones. I mean, George W. Bush, he was the ambassador to China in the 70s, and he's a Skull and Bones graduate. So I think they're just a larger, more muscular version of North Korea. The same way we say North Korea is a propaganda state and the CIA is all up in there. I think China is just the older version. They've been in China before they were in the Koreas. They had to do that whole Korean War just to get their little fingers in what Korea's got going on. So I think the United States, you know, it's just as much of a shell as any other government. You know, really, it's people in very expensive, wealthy mansions leaving their mansion to get in a very expensive airplane to fly to a meeting with other very wealthy people. And then they plan out like, OK, well, let's keep this thing interesting because it's going to get boring and we're not going to make as much money unless we go to war. So they play these war games. I think it's that simple. You know, that's all the that I go to.
All the while they're flying on their private jets, they're lecturing us about global warming. It's insane. But, you know, to your point, and I think I like entertaining these conversations. I think that it's very interesting. But we're not going to war with China. We're not going to war with Russia. We're not going to war with any of these people unless that's part of the plan. It's not like this can happen without some serious planning, right?
What I think is going on, honestly, Ryan and crew, look at the National Guard. Look at Massachusetts. Look at Minnesota. Look at Denver. I post a few things about this. Our National Guard has taken over every single part of our democracy. So what we need to be worried about is what's at hand. We're worried about China. Look at China. Look at North Korea. Look at all this stuff that's going on whenever we're being infiltrated by our own government. Our own government's talking about $600. You put $600 in your account, they're going after the rich. Nah, man, we need to worry about what's going on our own turf and what's going on in Switzerland, because these rich people like Elon Musk, Merck with their new pill, and then you start digging in Merck with InBrain, dude, they're all working on turning us into cyborgs so they can create their artificial intelligence. That's what we need to be concerned about, not China. We need to be worried about who's putting this jab in you and what's in it. And why is it in it? Why is this graphene not being talked about in the major public? I think that's what the real concern, from my point of view, at least, is.
Oh, that's a good point, man. I mean, I think, like, when you put it that way, you know, China, Afghanistan, Russia. I mean, I think feel like Russia has been quiet for years. But, you know, with China and other things going on, it's like a scapegoat almost. I mean, we saw the videos coming out of China, you know, 2 years ago, people falling in the streets and then the lab. Exactly. Leak. As much as there's like credence and evidence to that kind of stuff, you're right. It could just be a distraction because, like, you know, these vaccines aren't saving us necessarily. They're out there. The evidence is out there, man. People aren't buying it anymore, man.
Well, and there was that interview going around, I don't know, a couple weeks ago of a Chinese gentleman, you know, giving a speech to, I don't know what kind of group it was, but he was just laughing, you know, basically saying, just let them keep getting the jab. And the more of them that get jabbed, eventually they're just going to keep getting weaker and weaker. And, you know, they're laughing at us right now. I don't think they even see us as a threat anymore. I think they feel like they have control and now they just have to let us destroy ourselves, you know? And I think that's what this administration's doing. And like you said, Jay, slowly, by bringing in things like the National Guard and things like that, they're slowly taking control over systems and they're going to privatize it, right? Or you know,
absolutely. Well, think about this. Graphene, if graphene connects to 5G, the Internet of Things connects to 6G, Internet of Things and the human interface, from what I'm seeing, from my point of view, they're wanting to map us out so they can create a cyborg artificial intelligence. They're calling it novelty artificial intelligence, so they don't need us anymore. And the ones that are left behind are going to be put into a simulation world like the Matrix. I mean, that's what it's looking like to me.
Well, we got a robot dog with a sniper rifle going around. So, I mean, that's a bonus, right?
That sounds cool.
My dog will fuck that dog up. A little.
Oh, and that's what you said, Ron, right? In your last show, you and Buckley were talking about that. Is, you know, you kind of have to start preparing to how do you handle these cyborgs, right? These robots that they may have patrolling the streets eventually.
Well, think about this. If they can control you, you're not going to take your gun and shoot anything because they're not going to let you shoot. They're not going to let you pull the trigger. There's a lot of movies coming out where somebody like Black Widow, the person literally used their brainwashing power to make the person kill themselves, and they had no control over it. The movie Tangled, if you try to kill yourself, you could not kill yourself. And this is in Revelations 9:6. You know, you'll seek death but cannot find it. You won't have control of your own body. And think about all these people that have already taken it. There's graphene floating around in all these people.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
Sorry, Ron. What they're looking for, though, I like what you're bringing up there, but I think it's, you know, that metaphor about death, it's important because personally, I mean, we could debate this. I wouldn't be too interested in debating it, but I believe in reincarnation, right? So I think ultimately all they can really do is rob you of your conscious here right now so they can have more Borgs to fit into the hive mind. You know,
right?
But whether that means your soul splits from your body in the moment they give you whatever turns you into a cyborg, or whether that means you kind of go inward until like maybe you don't wake up until your physical death. Who knows the physics of what this is?
But
I think it's a spiritual tactic, a form of spiritual energetic violence.
So think about this: if you can't kill yourself, can you reincarnate?
That's deep.
Yeah, Nimrod, like, fuck. So Christians, they like to believe, oh, you can't reincarnate, that's against the laws of nature, God didn't intend that. But how come Nimrod did? Okay, Jesus Christ, he resurrected to become divine, but Nimrod, he resurrected through reincarnation. So think about it, reincarnation is real, it's in the Bible. We're told not to believe that, but it is. I look at Buddhism. They talk strictly about it.
Yeah. Ron, what were you going to say, man?
I was going to say something, but I'll touch on the reincarnation. I'm a big believer in reincarnation.
And
what's weird about it is that I believed and I understood that concept before I was old enough to understand that concept, which makes it, I'm a firm believer that I've been reincarnated many times based on a lot of really vivid dreams that I've had that, you know, we won't get into now, but I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that reincarnation to go, but what you said, Jason, is true. Can you reincarnate if you can't die? Could this be something that they want to keep everybody alive by putting you in this assimilated matrix, right? With your consciousness, not allowing you to die, because when you die and you according to the Buddhist tradition, you become more and more enlightened every time.
Exactly.
So maybe they don't want you to become an enlightened being. Maybe they just want to keep you in this little prison of this consciousness that we're living in this body and this mind right now. But what I wanted to touch on back when Matt said is, when they start coming out with these, we call them Boston Dynamic dogs. when they start coming out with these things, or these robots like Musk is coming out with, they can be weaponized very, very easily. So this is what we need to learn how to combat. Like anybody can shoot a person in a battle. You can shoot a person if that person's not wearing armor. Depending on where you hit them or whatever, they're going to go down. Even if they don't die, you're going to incapacitate them long enough for you to get the hell out of where you're at, right? But these dogs don't do that. You knock these dogs over, you mess with these dogs, they just get right up.
The guy holding the remote control.
But if they're AI, that, they don't need a remote control.
Yeah. Well, that's it, Mark. Yeah, if these dogs are AI,
they can't.
They could be. they could be run remotely.
How are they going to get? How are they going to get a 2-ton beast of a robot dog, formidable enough to hurt somebody, to actually maintain a battery wirelessly and also be able to geolocate? I mean, that's far fetched.
Musk's.
I don't think it's far fetched at all. They can control
Neuralink, right?
They can control these dogs through Elon Musk's satellite system he's putting up under the guise of Starlink, which I predict is going to be Skynet. And just like how a guy could be sitting at a army base or a naval base, Air Force base, whatever, in the United States, sit in his gaming chair and kill somebody in Afghanistan. Yeah. It's no different. Sad. It's the same exact
setup. Yeah, but somebody had to be in Afghanistan with the drone to get it to the area and then turn it on. Like, there's a lot of steps. It's not as simple as okay, I'm in my computer chair and then my drone's going to fly from Connecticut to Afghanistan. You know, and I think the same goes with these dogs. It's like, you see the footage of them in the labs. I've seen it. It's very clunky. You know, they could barely stand up without getting knocked over. I mean, to me, it just feels like fear-mongering propaganda. Again, I'm not a researcher. I'm taking this from Chris Knowles. You know, Chris Knowles is someone who's researched this, and that's what he told me when he was on my show. I haven't looked into that too far other than looking at the videos. But I trust Chris. You know, that's what he told me. So maybe I'm just parroting what he said. But
and I think you guys could both be right, dude. But like what I would say to Mark is that's what they're showing us. That's what we're able to see. Right. And then what I would say to Ron is I mean, it does sound far-fetched. But then think about the leap in technology from mm-hmm. the 40s to today. You know what I mean? It is not something that is comprehensible from someone in the 40s, even with a pretty insane mind for whether it be technology or physics or whatever, to be where we're at today is
let me ask you guys this. I don't know. I mean, I apologize for being late. So if this is off topic, then shame on me, but
masturbators, man.
But I'm wondering, you know, what are you guys' thoughts on this idea of the limited hangout of technology and aliens, whatever group, whatever faction interact with our government, gave us a certain amount of technology for a certain period of time. But since then, we've kind of just been reinventing the wheel with these parts that they gave us. And it seems like the connection stopped somewhere in the 80s, 70s, because that's when, you know, we have a lot of the same technology they were predicting then, now. But it's just sharpened. It's more polished. It's cleaner. It's more efficient. But it doesn't seem like they created anything too new from that time period.
Actually, they have. So in 2004, they came across something called graphene. It's granite, but I've seen a lot of videos of it. It's two atoms across. It's 200 times stronger than steel, stronger than a diamond. You can shoot it, and it will not penetrate. So if you have penetrated, you have bullets that can penetrate steel and stuff like that, they won't penetrate this shit. So our technologies went a lot further.
Well, and I think
if you think about it,
people in the, not in our world, the general public.
I'm going to challenge that. Sorry, Kyle. I'm going to challenge that. How do we know that, you know, is actually something that isn't, like I said, just a late rollout from that time period. I mean, to me, graphene seems like an exotic material. We hear a lot about exotic materials in the realm of UFO interactions, you know, all sorts of black goo stories where people have seen technology that has a sort of black, almost liquid, otherworldly, you know, seeming function. I think graphene falls into that same category. It's a little fantastical for me. I don't know how much I believe in what they say about graphene, but I don't, you know, it doesn't seem like a new technology. It just seems like it's been discovered. It might have some great applications, but
isn't silk
applications, right?
You know, what's funny about that, Mark, is that they've shown graphene or some sort of it all the way back to the movie Flubber. If any of you guys remember that, Robin Williams, essentially that's what it was. It was a goo that came out and could do things, you know, and so they've been showing us in movies. And now, of course, it's front and center with Venom and, you know, all the Marvel movies that it's in, and it's starting to make its way across Netflix too. So, you know, they love to show us that and look for our consent, right? And if we don't object, we are guilty of compliance in their eyes. So,
well, isn't Silk one of those things too? Silk is insanely strong, like from the silkworm.
And we
well, would, and hemp as well, to, right?
Well, we wouldn't have been able to use silk the way we do now if it wasn't allegedly for genetic modification of spider genes into the wool of a sheep. And now we're able to get something very close to spiders' silk from a sheep, but it's not
spider goats.
Spider goats like Alex Jones did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It's not like they have, you know, warehouses full of spiders being milked for their silk. That's impossible. You know,
hey, I would volunteer to go to a warehouse to be milked any day. So just let me know if that ever.
You already pre-milked, Kyle.
I know, but I'm ready to go again. But what I was going to say about the technology though is, even people not in our community and the general public, they know like that the military industrial complex is at least 30 to 50 years ahead of what we have in the general public. Mm-hmm. Like I had a buddy who, you know, we were childhood friends and I grew up with them and their family. And their dad would always tell me how he spent time in like the Netherlands when he was in the 80s, you know, like, and I thought he was just like a big stoner guy, just like chilling in, you know, the Netherlands. And so it wasn't until a few years ago that they told me, dude, our dad was a fucking spy for the UN and he was stationed in the Netherlands. And he said that they had satellites in the 80s that could count the fucking freckles on your face from space. And that was in the 80s. So like, we know that what the technology they have is way beyond what we see, you know? And so that kind of answers, you know, kind of answers both of the sides of the argument. Like, yes, we probably got a lot of this technology from downed UFO crafts or interdimensional entities or even Nikola Tesla, things like that. But it's been developed so far, you know, it's beyond, so far beyond what we see now. And just look at what we have now. We're like, holy shit, this is fucking crazy. This is awesome. Look at my new iPhone. But it's like, imagine what else there is, you know, like, you know, they have fucking missiles that are just like ninja blades now. They don't explode. They just fucking slice people up. Like, what the fuck are we doing? And that was a new thing, you know? So imagine what they have now. Like, I think directed energy weapons, 100% real. Who knows what they are, the nature of them. But I mean, I think there's teleportation of some kind. I think there's definitely mass mind control, you know, invisibility. I just, the other, you know, a few weeks ago, I went deep on fucking just Wikipedia DARPA projects. And it's insane the amount of money and effort they're putting into these things that are on Wikipedia. And you're like, holy shit, like invisibility cloaks and all kinds of crazy shit, man. I recommend just going to Wikipedia, looking at DARPA projects. And you'll be like, this is what they're telling us they have? Imagine what they are not.
Have you guys seen those like sweatshirts that they have that you can buy, and if somebody like takes a picture of you, it like reflects the flash into the camera? So you
I have a pair of shoes like that, Mark.
Yeah,
a pair of old school Jordan.
Have you tried them? Is that just a gimmick, or does it work?
Oh no, it works. When they're black shoes, right? And if you take a picture with a flash, they look like silvery shiny.
Really?
But so, yeah, they've had that. And those
the photo too much though. It's not like it blacks out the photo.
No. Just, I mean, it makes whatever the material is like glow almost.
Because right. I wanna get an outfit of all that. If we're gonna be living in this security state where we're being filmed all the time, like, give me an outfit that just blocks out every single security camera. Like,
that's why you gotta live in a star fort.
Well, I've heard too that those like astronaut blankets that they were given to the kids at the border, those can block out UV cameras if you just throw those over you. And let's say you painted it like brown, so that you blend
it's like aluminum foil, you know, that
essentially,
yeah.
Well, I did want to touch on something that Kyle was saying about like the teleportation. Did you see the idea, or it's not even an idea, it's a fact that I think it was Jimmy Fallon, he teleported to the Country Music Awards.
What?
Did you see that?
What the fuck are you talking about, Ryan?
Dude, it is fast. Google that shit, dude.
I'm looking it up right now. What? Say it again.
It's Jimmy Fallon, I think. Teleport.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, I hate him, but listen.
There you go, Mark.
To the CMT, the Country Music Awards.
Why is he at the CMTs?
I have no idea.
Was it a hologram?
It was a hologram, yeah. But he stood in a box. He stood in a box, and it made him teleport to this place. It's fascinating, dude. It's a weird idea. And this kind of stuff was coming out during the 2020 election, and people were talking about this stuff. But it's very interesting. It wasn't a hologram. I've seen
a demo of that, Ryan, where the guy goes into a box and then they show his body in another side of the room.
On the other side of the world, even they can do it. It's anywhere that they want to do it. And he's moving, he's saying a word, and that word is being heard on the other side of the world. He's blinking at the same time that his hologram is blinking. So he's like live action controlling this hologram. That's essentially teleportation, right? I mean, that's kind of what
Jimmy Fallon. I've not seen anything.
It reminds me.
Try Kimmel. Try Kimmel.
It reminds me of this theory that Ari Osselin mentioned. I'm sure you guys have heard. You guys might have had him on your show as well. Really interesting guy. But he talked about how these pyramids were potentially places where folks on Mars, this is according to him, would project their consciousness or their voice or even maybe their image in that teleportation kind of illusory way. To give people the impression that there were like gods in the pyramids, when really it was just people using an advanced technology that the common people in that time had no understanding of. So now we're kind of entering into this world where that type of technology may be brought back with the, misunderstanding that, it's new, we just invented it. Meanwhile, it's been possible for millions of years, and maybe they're just rolling it out in a different way.
Is that like it's really explicit? Would that be considered like a Project Bluebeam almost? Like that?
He was saying that this is like, I mean, Ari goes into the Tartaria stuff and like a different timeline. So I can't exactly put my finger on where, his theories go back to. But the Mars aspect is like his theory is there's some sort of time traveling group of humans on Mars who use this technology to holographically project into a pyramid. And the pyramids are in essence an inextricable part of that process. That's inherent to what they do.
There's that CIA document that you can go look at when they were doing the I don't remember the name of the project, but it was essentially astral projection. Mm-hmm. And they sent this one guy. I mean, it's crazy to read the document on the CIA website where
Looking Glass.
Maybe it was Looking Glass. But subject, it's like a script, like subject says this.
And then, Looking Glass was remote viewing. So I think what you're talking about maybe is like Monarch or something that was connected to the Montauk projects, because that's where they were going into
their consciousnesses back in time and space. And like one guy said he went, like he's reporting what he's seeing, to the CIA guy. And he's like, I'm on Mars. It's beautiful. There's buildings and pyramids and towers and water. And they're like, what? And he's like, it's 2 million years ago. Like, I mean, what was going on? I mean, what the fuck?
Well, and here's
I remember
thing.
That
you hear that now out of context and you're like, whoa, they were talking about that in the CIA in World War II, like the 50s America. No way. But I mean, come on. Edgar Sayce was like in the 1920s and 30s and he was channeling all of that stuff. So, none of this stuff is new. And I think a big part of the CIA's role in creating propaganda is inserting that level of fantasy into the culture so that people have a harder time discerning the truth from the fiction. I mean, you see it in science fiction, this whole idea that technology comes out in science fiction and then it's made in real life. Like, look what we had in the Jetsons, and now we have things like that. And I just saw a commercial standing in the kitchen. I don't watch TV, but my mom does. And I saw on TV, I think it was like the guy from from Kenan and Kel, and he's like leaving his house and all his appliances are like, wait, don't go. He's got like all these talking appliances in his house. And that's like the thing, like, oh, it's so cool to have a smart home, but like, that's literally what the Jetsons were about. So the predictive programming thing, I think it applies in our zeitgeist of conspiracy theories as well. Like, nothing's new under the sun. All of these things, these themes have been talked about for hundreds of years. And the CIA came in and were like, all right, we're going to use all this mysticism stuff, insert it into the culture in a manipulative way, and give people a different perspective than they would have had naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, art imitates life and life imitates art. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about there. So it's interesting, dude. I think it's fascinating, but.
And that gets back to, you know, you can look at the old times too. I mean, there's all those videos and such of them having, you know, like cell phones way back in the, you know, late 1800s and, you know, people having technology that, you know, doesn't seem to fit, and which, you know, who knows what to believe in the narrative, right? I mean, we've been intentionally deceived for at least the history of our country, you know, if not longer. I mean, you go back to the, even, you know, the creation of the Bible, there's conspiracy around that. So it's one of those where they are very good at putting out information to deceive you, and telling the difference between what's real and what's not is difficult. And unless you see it or have an eyewitness, there's really no way to verify it.
Yeah, it's very interesting, man. Kyle, did you find that portal technology I was telling you about?
Dude, no, I couldn't find it. I'm using DuckDuckGo on a Brave browser, so I'm not getting the best results. I mean, it's
the company is called PORTL. So you can just look that up in your own spare time. And just anyone that's listening here too, I want them to see that, because I know Matt, you said you saw it. It's fascinating technology. And it is it's a step above that hologram stuff that they did with like Tupac and Michael Jackson. And then like most recently that I know of is like that XXXTentacion rapper dude.
All kind of blurry, right, Ryan? I mean, those looked kind of cartoonish, whereas
were blue.
Yeah, this is crisp. You cannot tell. It's like in the Star Wars movies, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they used to look like. You could tell it wasn't real. This, you could not tell the difference.
And that's what was so interesting, was like when all the Q stuff was coming out about the 2020 election, it was just a very fascinating sort of undertone where they're showing like, yeah, Joe Biden's been dead for 10 years and Obama is playing him and he's standing in a hologram thing with like, you know, all this technology that's making him look like Joe Biden. And then, I mean, it's just a weird concept to try to really wrap your head around. And then when you get into how much these massive companies like Amazon and Facebook and Google and all these things are really playing a part in the elections and how they're a quasi government. I mean, I just did an episode right now on Facebook that's about to come out, and it is phenomenally done how they manipulate their image, even going back to that Social Network movie. I mean, that Social Network movie was pure propaganda to make it seem like Mark Zuckerberg just stole this idea from these two geniuses known as the Winklevoss twins. That wasn't the case at all either, right? And I mean, it's a insane backstory. And I'm sure that Google and Amazon and all these other massive companies have similar startup stories.
Well, dude, anytime there's a fucking biopic about something, I immediately am like, oh, this is bullshit.
But, without a doubt.
The time, I was like, oh, cool, this is how Facebook was started. Or it says the events are based on a true story. You're like, oh, this is bullshit.
Well, sure, but like the idea of it, that movie, it makes the average person think like, oh, Mark Zuckerberg is just a fucking thief. He just stole this from these dudes. It's way deeper than that, though. He was a government plant from day one, and that's why it's so fascinating to me. And there's so many stories like that.
And where did he go to school?
Harvard. No big deal, you know.
Chinese controlled, right?
Yeah, dude. It's insane. It is insane.
And you look at some of the other ones like Amazon, right? Bezos is, what was his grandfather, was in DARPA or ARPA at the time. DARPA, yeah. So, I mean, I was talking with NY Patriot earlier today on Disney. And, you know, the thing is, you don't get that big without playing ball, you know, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, you are playing ball with them when you get to that status, because otherwise they'll just take you out and put someone in that will be controlled.
Sure. Yeah. Look at YouTube. YouTube started out like from someone, you know, the story that we hear is it was started out by a somewhat of a tech genius. And then what happens? Google bought it. Freaking MySpace. This guy, Tom, starts it. You know, everyone loved Tom. He was everybody's friend. And then this guy doesn't want to play ball with the government. So Mark Zuckerberg comes in and takes him out. You know, essentially MySpace is done. Not essentially. It's just flat out done. No one messes with MySpace anymore. But that was, I mean, it's just insane, dude. It's crazy how co-opted every aspect of our lives are. But dude, you know what? I really don't think that's going to change, because especially us as Americans, and I'm very patriotic. I love this country. And I think that, you know, we have our flaws and, you know, just like every other thing does, but the United States above all other countries, we love a bargain. We'd love to shop on Amazon to save 25 cents versus shopping down the street and, you know, paying a little extra for, you know, supporting a local business and things like that. And I know, like, you know, maybe us as individuals, we don't see it that way, but the country as a whole does, right?
Well, that's been manipulated into the culture. I mean,
of course.
Totally manipulated. I mean, living in New England, Ron definitely agrees, and Matt too. Jason and Kyle, I don't remember where you guys are from, sorry. But, you know, there's a lot of history.
Don't fuck with Texas, bro.
But New England in particular, there's 400 years of history here. And, like, I've just been getting into that stuff lately, so maybe it's on the top of my mind. But I've always thought of New England as a hardworking place with hardworking people, you know? And I think that's a big part of the American spirit and the American way that's really been manipulated out of us with indulgence and over-sexualization, you know, sugarizing every single category of the food pyramid. It's just like, you know, I think it's been a slow rollout manipulation process to weaken, fatten, and soften us up, maybe for this period in time when they start to, you know, call the herd, so to speak. They keep talking about herd immunity and all this bullshit, you know, but I think the same thing that happens here is happening in every country that gets the modern disease, you know. Any country that's like, oh, we're modern now, you know, you see it happen more obviously with like a place like maybe Dubai, where, you know, in the process of 50 or so years, you see huge skyscrapers and all this money flooding into just one tiny small place. But that's being happening on a microcosm, macrocosm level all over the world, and it's due in part to three places: Washington, D.C., London, and the Vatican. Those are the top three, in my opinion. And I think China is just a layer that one of those three are operating through. And maybe Washington, D.C. shouldn't be up on that top level. I think really it's London and the Vatican. I think Washington, D.C. was originally supposed to be on Team Light, so to speak. Like, it was made with good intentions. Our Constitution has gotten us this far, and I don't think we should scrap that at all. I think some of what the Founding Fathers, albeit they were Freemasons, I think some of their ideals were worthwhile given the situation they were in. But, you know, that being said, I think at the end of the day, we're dealing with a royal elite, you know, whether it's China, whether it's Europe, whether it's even South America, you know. I hate to break
Brazil.
It to you, but like there's stories where, you know, Montezuma, he was like, yeah, all right, we'll get down with the Spanish. We'll do our thing with you guys. And now there's people who are, you know, have Aztec or Mayan blood who are part of like the Spanish royalty. So, you know, it's not just a matter of Europeans or Chinese, you know, it's not a race thing. It's a class thing.
And of course,
the whole thing is really balanced on that illusion of, oh, it's racially motivated or religiously motivated. It never goes to class. They never use class in their propaganda, because that's the truth, and they don't want to reveal the truth. So they turn us against each other with race and all of these superficial things, when really it's a top-down control, pyramidal, economic, fascisto type deal.
And they're great at inverting things, right? That's one of their strengths, is being the use of inversion. And the scary part about all that, Mark, is they've done all that in basically the last 50 years. You know, I mean, since post-World War II, they've had their foot on the throttle. And think about that small time frame, 50 years, they've been able to change this world drastically. And that's a wild thing to think about, because when you think about the, you know, the vastness of our supposed history, 50 years is a speck of time, and they've flipped the world upside down, basically, in a matter of 50 years, which
is speeding up.
And you could argue they've been doing it even longer than that. And and then something else I wanted to say, going off what I mean, as much as I agree with Mark 100%, it's all a class thing. You know, Ryan was saying that, you know, it's all about the, you know, the bottom line, that dollar, right? As an American society or capitalist society or whatever. And as much as I agree with that, it makes me question, why are we, you know, clearly these vaccines aren't good for business. Clearly, Biden's economic policies or whoever it is aren't good for business. So, like, at what point does that bottom dollar kick in and we say, hey, wait, we're losing fucking money on this thing? Or is it at a certain point, does it just go, you know, back to, it's all about control? Because, like, you're right. We are greedy people, or as a society, as a country, or whatever. So at what point do people start saying, hey, I'm losing fucking money on this thing, man. What's going on? Or is it just the right people are making money? I mean, I don't want to change subjects, but that's just something that was on my mind.
Well, that's it right there. You just nailed it right there. The people are making the money, because if you look, I mean, no, it's not nobody's making money off this. The amount of wealth transfer during this last year and a half, 2 years, is the greatest it's ever been. I mean, the amount of billionaires, I forgot what the actual
Centi billionaires, the 100 billionaires, right? One to nine. There's nine now.
it's insanity. So that it's a giant transfer of wealth, you know, and that was the whole game plan of this, is to get us into that great reset. And they can basically do whatever they want with us.
And let's take it back, because I like terms like Great Reset, but I think it gives the audience the impression that it's a, you know, monolithic thing that only is going to come around once. This is a playbook. I mean, that Art of War book I read from, that was written in like the 300s. Like, it was written a long time ago, and it's been in the copies of the right people. You know, they've had their manuscripts of that book, but, you know, it gets around, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. But my point is this is not a new game, and them fattening us up the way I described, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. You want to save money, you guys, I'm not going to make any judgments on you guys, but myself, I don't eat three meals a day anymore. I'm very comfortable eating one. You know, I was just talking to my Sifu, a guy who trained me in martial arts, on my podcast this afternoon. And that was a big part of why I'm able to entertain a lot of this stuff, martial arts. And I think, you know, on a health basis, that's the first thing you can do to get around what they're doing to manipulate us. It's agricultural. The Industrial Revolution was mainly agricultural. I mean, in a lot of ways. And that's, I think, the crux of how we've been manipulated into this position that we're in now. It's our diet, you know, getting us to overeat. Our bodies are so, you know, tired from digesting that we don't have time to you know, for our immune system to actually get in there and do some work. So I think that's a big, and it affects your mental health. It affects your intelligence. You know, your diet is completely tied to your intelligence. And then we can get into the whole medical malpractice bullshit that's going on in the day, but I'm sure that's old hat. We've all talked about that plenty of times. You know, what's going on is crazy. I just got kicked out of a grocery store yesterday for not wearing a mask, because I will never wear a mask ever again. I refuse to wear a mask, even on Halloween. Fuck that, you know. So I'm just,
for the candy, Mark.
So, but my point is it's like they get us at such a personal level. They have to get us at such that personal level before they're able to come in with the social media, before they're able to come in with the news propaganda. None of that would work if the majority of Americans weren't, you know, suckling off the teat of big agriculture. That's my opinion.
Well, yeah. And then the more resources are going into smaller and smaller hands, or I guess bigger hands, you know, Bill Gates buying up all the land and all this stuff. So that's a very interesting idea. We got a little bit away from what Kyle said, and I did want to touch on this fact that, you know, the idea of, what was it? It was the money going away from people and like how there's more billionaires and all this stuff, more sentient billionaires.
Away from that, because I mean, think about how much money people spend on food every week.
Well, no, I know, but my point here,
going there, that's why I brought it up. I don't mean to challenge you, but
No, you're right. I just wanted to touch on something that Kyle was talking about. Is that
I was saying that the you know, where the bottom line, like the what's when do people start realizing like this whole system isn't working? But then I said. Yeah. The right people are making the money.
Yes. And so that's exactly what it was, is the right people are making the money. So Steve Jobs with Apple, right? And Bill Gates with Microsoft. One of the biggest shareholders in Apple before Steve Jobs died was Bill Gates, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it's insane. Like, this dude's been playing fucking 3D chess for so long. And that's just, that's exactly what, like, the whole point of it is like, you know, who's making the money? And
his father, though, like, he's not just an average Joe. He's a connected person in that elite 1% establishment network. You know, I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. The right people are making the money here, right? His parents are affiliated with IBM, who is also, that goes back to the Nazis. You know, all kinds of very interesting connections here. Planned Parenthood, all these things.
Margaret Sanger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These are the right people that we speak of here. These are the right people that are making the money. So, I mean, yeah, dude, I just think it's very important for people to understand. And yeah, dude, I mean, no one's wrong here, right? I mean, Kyle made a great point. Mark, you're 100% right on with what you're saying too.
Great points. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate the
compliment. Of course. I will tell you right now, if you want me to eat
podcast,
thank you. I will tell you right now, if you want me to eat only one time a day, I'll say fuck that, because I need my eggs in the morning and I need some steak later on in the day.
That could be why. That could, you might be imbalancing yourself with.
Maybe that's why I'm so angry.
Steaks, eggs, and fish.
Maybe that's why I'm so angry. But no, I mean, yeah, dude, everyone needs to make changes in their lives, right? Every single one of us needs to.
And me too. I'm not going to sit here on the high horse and be like, you guys should stop eating. It's like, no. I mean, that works for me. I'm also a skinny guy with a high metabolism, so maybe I'm more inclined to that type of thing. But I think overall, we have to be able to make changes in our own lives on a personal, local level. I'm sure you guys have said this, have heard this. Seems to be the safest advice to give, so to speak, because how can you argue with that? Like, go local, clean your own house before you worry about your neighbor's yard, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and I don't, again, I'm not trying to stand on a high horse here, but I think it's important to touch on that side of things, because when you actually do something in your daily life, it negates that psyop of being hooked into the media, hooked into social media. Even people listening to these types of podcasts, it could drain you. If you listen to enough Black Pill podcasts, that's just as draining as listening to, you know, MSNBC or any of the other mainstream medias. Maybe you're getting a more sober information, but at the end of the day, the point is to get you out of what it means to be a human being. That's how they manipulate us, and, you know, that's how they siphon all the money into those small groups.
Well, yeah. This is something I've been saying for a while. We, all of us, you know, who are in this podcast and truth game, we need to pool our resources together and start a good news network. You know, like, it's only good news 24/7, like
GNN, you know,
firefighter saves puppy or cat from a tree. You know, grandma has a successful heart transplant. Like, I mean, good news 24/7. And like, push that as hard as we can, just to like raise the vibration. You know what I mean? Even if it's like silly bullshit stuff, it's 10 times better than what we're seeing on fucking Fox and CNN. You know what I mean? All the fear porn. If we can just be like, hey, because there's so many good things happening all the time, you just never hear about it, man.
I mean, this is it. We're already creating it.
Exactly. The world is so much better than it's been ever before. We're not out here fucking murdering each other. And me in Texas and Mark in New England and Matt and Ron and all, like, we can all talk together because we have this amazing technology that enables us to do that. But at the same time, the beholders of the technology and the money and the power, they want us to be fucking slaves. You know what I mean? Like, take your fucking shots, eat your goo, and enjoy the cricket match, bitches. Like, with no money, fuck your Bitcoin and fuck your guns. We're going to shit all over you. Like, but yeah, there's potential in all of this stuff that You know, it's all in like who's holding the object. You know what I mean? If a carpenter holds a hammer, he can build you a nice fucking table or fix your house or whatever. But if a fucking axe murderer is holding a hammer, he's going to beat the shit out of you with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's all, the technology is not one way or the other. It's all about who's got control of it. And once good people, you know, might have created these technologies, it's been fucking co-opted and manipulated since. And that's, I think that goes for anything, agriculture, food, all this stuff. You know, sugar's great. I love sugar. You gotta, you know, can't have too much of it though. You know what I mean? A little sugar in your tea. Exactly.
A little bit of everything, balance. If you really think about it though, is this technology not physical or is it spiritual? They're pushing physical reality on us when we're spiritual beings, and that's the problem. That's the problem, honestly. This is all physical. This world, we're not meant to live forever, but they want to make us feel like, oh, you should want to live forever.
Right.
And it's all spiritual.
It started that way. I mean, the same groups that are, you know, backing these big pharmaceutical companies and all of these, murder companies in all their various forms were behind the Inquisition. They were behind, you know, getting the pagans out of Europe and all of these different things that we remember in history from their perspective.
You know, maybe dispersing
from this conspiratorial perspective, you're like, oh shit, they've been trying to get us out of our spiritual culture for a long time and get us into this physical culture. And scientism is just the newest version of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, dude, I will. I'll give my last thought here. I don't know how long you guys want to go, but I had an interesting thing when I was researching some stuff about Facebook, and I was like looking into like how Silicon Valley got started and then how now it's moving to Texas. It's moving to Austin right now in a big way, right? Which is not good. It's not good that it's moving over there to Texas. And I'll tell you why. I know, right? It seems like it's good in the short term because you'll get like increased real estate values and stuff like that. But
that means I can't buy a goddamn house, Ryan.
Well, I mean, I thought you had a house, my bad.
I live in a fucking apartment, dude. I mean, oh, it's a bunker apartment. Like, it's in a deep underground. You'll never find it, just so you know. But yes, I keep going. I'm sorry.
It's not a high rise. Well, there you go. So my point here is these massive companies moved out to California. They completely fucked up their tax system. They made that a third world country. Silicon Valley did that, right? We're talking Facebook. We're talking Google. We're talking all these things that move out there, and they made California shit. I mean, California has always been fairly liberal, but they started out there in this massive, massive state, right? Now they're moving to Texas, which is a massive state again, and they're doing a lot of the same deals there. Ron, if you're trying to talk, you're on mute. I don't know if you're trying to say anything, but
talking his cats.
Oh, okay. So one thing that I saw, and this, it's weird for me to say this, that Amazon was trying to build a massive plant out in AOC's district a while ago. And AOC said, no, you guys are not going to do this. And everyone's like, oh, this bitch is making it so all these people can't get these jobs and all this stuff. Looking back at that now, that was a good move, dude. And I don't like AOC. She's crazy. She makes a lot of dumb moves, but you got to give credit where credit's due. And I give her credit for that by not letting Amazon come in there and doing what they're trying to do. They were going to raise rates, and that affects the lowest portion of the population. It affects the poorest people. So that's what's going to happen in Texas, the same way it happened in California. You've got Elon Musk, you've got Joe Rogan, you've got all kinds of people telling people to move out to Austin. This is the place to be now. And it's going to happen. I mean, Tesla's the biggest car company in the world now, believe it or not. I didn't realize that. It's the biggest car company by market cap. And they're moving out there to Texas. What happened to Detroit? Detroit freaking that was Motor City, dude. That was a powerhouse. And now it's reduced to rubble.
That gets into the old cities that they had to destroy, right? I mean, and that's what Detroit is. Chicago, you know, you look at these old cities, St. Louis, another one where
those were beautiful cities.
Yeah. And now they're slums, you know, not entirely, but areas of them are really bad. And it's intentional, you know.
Guys, how are you supposed to build back better if you don't destroy something first? I mean, that's all we're trying to do here is build back better. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if all these companies want to make Texas better, go ahead. But No, I'm just joking. But yes, I agree. I never thought about it that way, Ryan. You know, I did not want Joe Rogan to come here. I will say that. But he went to Austin, and Austin's always been the weird, fucked up place. You know,
sure.
It's only gotten worse. But the rest of, I mean, any big city, anywhere in the country, you're gonna have the same problems. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I'm not disagreeing with you. I agree 100%. But I'm just saying, like, Texas as a whole. It's, dude, go anywhere 20 miles outside of Austin or Dallas or Houston. It's the fucking Wild West, baby.
I hear you, man, but it's been 6 months since this whole thing started going down. That stuff's going to radiate out just like it did out of Detroit, out of San Francisco, right? And I'm not saying,
dude, it's hellhole in Detroit.
I'm not saying, hey, I love Texas, man. I think that Texas is, I mean, it's an incredible thing that what Texas stands for.
Yeah, but imagine how fucked you'd be if your Tesla runs out of batteries and you're in the middle of Texas. I mean, come on, dude. We really want to move towards an electric, you know,
diesel, baby, diesel.
Yeah, we need some gasoline out in the West. I mean,
hey, nothing.
The Megalopolis where I live, but we're gonna run out. We're gonna run out.
nothing is less green than an electric vehicle. I'll tell you that right now. There is no thing. There's not a damn thing that is dirtier than an electric vehicle because of what it took to create that.
Remember Newsom just, he wants to pass that bill to ban all small engines.
Yeah.
So
lawnmowers.
Chainsaws, all that stuff.
I'm sure you guys have seen a rusty chassis in somebody's yard, like Ron's got a couple in his yard, old cars that just sit there and then they just like sink into the ground over time. What's going to happen to these Teslas with these highfalutin funky batteries? They're just going to be littering, you know, potentially toxic waste. It's just
decades.
You know, what happens when you get an engine which is empty when it's, you know, when there's nothing in it? It's just
what happens if you get a fucking head-on collision in a Tesla? You're going to explode and burn and battery
vaporize app.
Exactly, dude. And even my brother, and I love my brother so much, he's been on the show before, but he's not into this stuff. Like, we argue all the time. That's kind of why I started this podcast, so I didn't have to talk to him about this. But even he, he's educated and he's the smartest guy I know when it comes to like book smart shit, but even he's like, the worst thing you can do for your carbon footprint is buy a new car, any new car. He's like, if just keeping the car you have, even if it's shit, is the best thing you can do for the environment. Because even if you buy new, like you run that car till, you know, for 20 years, it's not going to create the same carbon footprint as building a new car. You know what I mean? Just the fact that they're building new cars is adding to the carbon footprint, because those cars have to go somewhere. You know what I mean? Someone's going to buy them. Someone's going to drive them. It's like he made a comparison to like Cuba. See, Cuba didn't have access to new cars, so they made cars from the 50s run for 50 years. And it's great for tourism because you get to see a bunch of old cars and shit, but they made the shit work and, you know, their carbon footprint is lower. So, you know, fuck, you know, Klaus Schwab and all his bullshit. But
their country is also completely falling apart over there, too.
But 100%. 100%.
Ron was talking about this the other day on his show that, you know, they want to get rid of all, you know, gas powered vehicles by what, Ron? 2030?
2030 is what Mercedes and Volvo is doing. And also, I think California also is 2030. So 2030 is part of the whole 2030 agenda.
Yep.
Excuse me. Let me tell you something. You guys would shit yourselves if you knew how many brand new cars are sitting in fields, old airports, old military bases, cars that don't sell because they produce way too many cars and there's not enough people to buy these cars.
If you
can Google it, you can Google it. Now, I'm not talking about the deal with the chips, like the cars with the chips. Yeah, I'm not talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm talking about is brand new cars that don't go to lots, that don't get bought. And somebody asked the question, why do you build 600,000 of this model or 2 million of that model if they're not going to sell? And the people said, because think about it. If we don't build these cars because these people don't supply their own parts. Like, so there's a company that makes the bumper covers. there's a company that makes the transmissions. There's a company that makes the tires, the wheels, the electronics, the stereo systems. Like if you buy a certain type of car, well, my car's got a Bose stereo, or I think my truck has JBL or Clarion or something, or
yeah.
And then my other car has I want to say Bose or whatever. I mean, all these companies that they're buying all these products off to build these cars, and all of their employees, right? These people would be out of jobs if they didn't build these cars. So I have no idea what they're doing with these cars, but Google it sometime. Just Google new cars, unsold new cars sitting in lots, and it's mind-boggling. I mean, literally. So it's like, okay, so why don't you give those away? Why don't you sell them for, you know,
pennies on the dollar?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Dude, to get them out there, just give them to the Taliban. I mean, it's great. It's a great
drop them in the air. Well,
they only do Toyotas and Humvees now.
Toyotas. Yeah. I mean, think about the smart cities. In smart cities, Obama was talking about this. It was on whitehouse.gov. They don't want us to have anything. This is way before the Great Reset and Klaus Schwab. They were already talking about not having anything. A job would be given to you. People out of the rural cities, we moved to the fucking big cities. I mean, this has been a plan for a long time. This is not new. Just like Mark was saying, this is old tech just being being newly introduced to us. So I think this is all a big agenda.
Well, and if I could be like, you know, the guy who takes the debate and turns it on its head, like everything comes from the earth. Everything comes from the earth, right? So what is pollution really? I mean, it seems to me like we have this whole paradigm that our earth is so much fragiler than it is. And I'm not going to sit here and say pollution or littering is a good thing. I just cleaned up trash out of a river today. No lie. I think it's important to clean
up. Thanks for doing that, Mark. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. You
know, with that in mind, like everything comes from the earth, and after a fair bit of processing, it gets dirtier, junkier, harder to degrade. But like, you know, I don't know if I buy into all that. Like, can't we just find a deserted island in like Greenland or something and just park all the cars there if they're going to be such a problem?
Can't we just pull energy from the ether like Tesla suggested?
Right on.
Throw
it in a volcano and like let it melt in the lava. I mean, I don't know. I always want to be like maybe contradictory or contrarian, and that's not a good thing. But I think, you know, there are ways that we've been told our earth and our reality is, and we just take it at face value and like work it into our perspective. And it's good to question it, even if it doesn't lead to anything, you know.
Well, think about this. Can't we just, if we can go to the moon, can't we just launch our trash into the sun? If it's going to burn up. I mean, honestly, if you're thinking about it, can't we just launch it? Or is there a dome above us? Is there?
Hey, you think you could just launch it into space, yeah.
Yeah, just ask yourself
that. Well, and they talk about all the space junk that's supposedly out there. And it's like, well, how come none of this stuff ever, you know, every now and then you hear something falling down, but it usually has a balloon attached to it.
Well, if we have geniuses in this world, can't we find a way to make it just disintegrate? Like,
fungus, I mean, they have fungus that they've found that can degrade plastics. So they are making ways to, you know, clean up the earth with smart tech. And I think that's part of the deception. You know, they give us this idea of scarcity. You know, they give us this idea that, you know, everything is on the verge of collapse, and it alters our biophysical state, gearing us into this kind of siphoning of our funds, like we were describing before, into the pockets of the hands of the small few. And you know, when you mentioned that, Ron, it's like, yeah, we got to give all these parts to make a car. Like, all these people need jobs. It's like, well, guess what? Like, supply and demand should correct that. Like, if we don't need cars, we don't need cars. And all those people, maybe they should get a job cleaning up trash, because I did it for free. There seems to be an abundance of trash. That might be a good thing. Like, why doesn't some of the tax money go to paying people to go to a park and clean up? rather than go to fund the fucking Taliban's ability to have control over these poppy fields. I mean, it's just like, you know, I think there's definitely an illness, a sickness, and it's not completely on us, obviously, as the average person. But until we start to awaken our brethren, it is kind of on us, you know, and we can collectively deal with it when we're all aware to the same problem. But it seems like the people who are benefiting the most are taking the problems and shifting them around like that game of three card Monty. And no matter what, you lose. There's no way to win three card Monty. You know, like that's the guy who's playing the game on the other side of the table always wins. You know, that's the situation it feels like they're setting up. So I can't get behind the doomsday stuff, even if it sounds like I was just behind it. You know, I'm trying to flip flop here, but it's because I'm just like positive to a flaw. I think that's what it is. I'm trying to be positive in a negative world.
Well Mark, I always knew mushrooms would save us. You know what I mean?
I have plenty, man. I just asked. So I need to ask you this. If money used to be a physical rarity, and now they can just print it on a screen, just type the digits in, how come there's poor people?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's no answer
how
to that.
How come we have to pay taxes? If you need to track my bank account for $600 because you want to catch us not paying taxes, okay, every American that has like a regular job is going to have a $600 transaction every at fucking least. Week.
For mortgage.
So why are you looking at our bank accounts when you could just if you it's need to pay off the debt, just print more money. Take all that money.
Let us take a look at your fucking bank.
Send it to your debtors. Yeah, send it. Let's see Nancy Pelosi's.
If y'all didn't know, there is a Twitter account now that's Nancy Pelosi's stock trades is what it's called. They're a great follow. You get to see how this bitch is making all this money. So I recommend that 100%.
Well, and isn't it a coincidence that all these people happen to invest in these things or dump right in time? You know, right. They always seem to step in.
Well, insider trading is legal in Congress and Senate.
Yeah.
No, and seriously, it's legal.
Oh, yeah.
It's not illegal for them. Yeah.
Well, have you heard of ELOSOP?
Club and you ain't in it.
Have you heard of ELOSOP? It's I don't know if it's a hedge fund or what it is, but ELOSOP is Pelosi backwards, and supposedly that's Nancy Pelosi's brother that owns this hedge fund. It's fucking insane.
What the fuck,
dude? I'm telling you, man. I'm fascinated with like words backwards and shit like that. And I was like just googling stuff, and I was telling my dad about how Kamala Harris's name Kamala is horrible in Finnish, and he was like, look up Pelosi backwards, and sure enough, I mean, that's a fucking company, that's a hedge fund. So her brother is supposedly affiliated with that. So just weird connections with hedge funds and with the government. So
race car
backwards, so is radar.
Interesting. There's something right there. There's something.
Hey, I'm telling you, dude, there's some shit there. The fucking dude, the one that blew my mind was the leader of the WHO, the World Health Organization. His name backwards is fascinating. Look it up, dude. I'm telling you. It's fun stuff.
Like, has something to do with like illness, right?
It's anti-filthy is his name backwards in Arabic.
You telling me about this?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, like this is stuff. It's like, dude, if we're living on a stage and if the world's all a theater, kind of feeds into that theory.
Our boy Shakespeare said that. Holla at your boy.
Yes, well, hey, sir.
Hey, I gotta bounce.
Yeah, me too.
Y'all wanted to wrap it up. I'll stay around if we're gonna wrap it up, but if not, I'm gonna head out. Matt, this is your thing. You tell us boys what to do, and we'll follow you, Daddy.
That's perfect time, Kyle. Why don't you lead us on our way out?
All right. Well, hey, I just want to say thank you. This was a lot of fun, man. I mean, I know there's lots of like group podcasts and stuff out there, but this was actually like really insightful. Like, I feel like we didn't all agree on everything. We had some interesting debates and insights, and I appreciate, you know, everyone playing devil's advocate and, you know, having their different perspectives. But man, this was a lot of fun, and you can find me and my boy Puds at the Big Dumb Podcast, and we got to connect with all of you guys again sometime soon for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna be on the show soon, right?
Yeah, dude, fucking text me, bro. Let's get it. Let's make it happen. Thank you, Matt, though. I appreciate you, bud.
No, thanks, Kyle. Thanks for
and
coming.
And I owe you a fucking t-shirt, dude. I got to get you that t-shirt.
Yes, sir. We'll hook up. Ron.
Yes. Yeah, Ron from New England. You can find me on Instagram and also at the Wicked Planet Podcast. Come check it out. Yeah, Matt, thanks for having me on. And yeah, I'm going to get together with you, Kyle, real soon, too.
For sure.
So we're going to do that.
I'll send you a message in the morning. We'll make it happen.
And I got to get Matt over on my show. We got some interesting stuff we want to do. But yeah, so thanks for having me on. Anytime you want me to jump on this show, Monday nights are usually pretty open for me. So even if I just jump in and just kind of observe, I like to observe and listen to everybody's different points of view. And then when Mark goes off on some of his little new stuff or his different stuff that he's doing, it's always good. So anyways, Mark. But I gotta go too. So
Ron, appreciate it as always, and you're always welcome back, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. Yep.
Jay.
Cool, bro, man. It was a blast, honestly. I liked everyone's perspectives. I think everyone has something to give, something to offer. It's a really cool, insightful perspective, and I hope to do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks for coming, man. You want to give your Instagram or anything?
I'm actually looking for it. I can't remember. Colorado_Dank99. Just hit me up. I post some pretty interesting stuff. I try
your
to
keep shit it blows up. My mind, dude. I read your shit and I'm like, I'm at work right now. I can't get into this. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I just got hooked up with them on Instagram recently too. So that's cool. Yeah, I like that stuff.
Yeah, man. And I'm always cool to go live because you never know when somebody's gonna blow my mind. So I mean, it happens, honestly. Like tonight, I was very interested in everything everyone had to say. And I just keep it live, honestly. Like, we're in a time where anything is possible.
Thanks, man.
Spiritual or physical, but I'm more leaning towards spiritual, and this is just a physical experience. So, you know, keep that in mind.
For sure. Thanks again, Jay. Cool. Mark.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Matt, because, dude, you've been a patron of mine since like the beginning. And also we have like an odd connection, right? That we talked about on the Instagram once, like we probably met, you know, in like when I was what, 9 or 8.
You were called Baby Mark. That's how long ago it was, man. Yeah. I dated your cousin back in.
Wait, what the fuck?
Mid-90s. Yeah. What's going on here?
Baby Mark. Yeah,
I met when I was real young. That.
Yeah, because there was there was your dad, there was your cousin, and you were all Marks, and it was crazy.
Yeah, there's three Marks. I've always been little Mark, unfortunately, even though I'm the tallest one out of all of them. But yeah, Matt, dude, you're awesome, and I really am psyched to see that you have your own podcast now, and I want to invite you to be a part of Alt Media United, as well as you, Jay, if you have your own thing going on, obviously, you know, when you get a podcast going. But yeah, folks can go to altmediaunited.com and see all the podcasts we got in the cooperative, and then obviously my podcast, My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. Check it out. We just put out an episode with Michelle Gibson.
Oh, I got that on. It's ready for the gym tomorrow. I can't wait.
Thank you.
She is one of my favorites, man. The work she does is unbelievable.
Yeah, she was a fun, interesting guest. Definitely surprising information for sure.
Hey, Mark, thank you so much. I'm glad we finally got to get together. It was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's been long overdue. So, yeah, it's been a pleasure. And thanks for having me. And thank you, Ryan, for inviting me to jump in here. Sorry for being late. But, yeah, dude, thank you to all you. Nice meeting you, Jay. Kyle, we'll do something soon.
Sounds good, brother.
Last but not least, Ryan.
I mean, again, guys, I thank every single one of you, especially you, Matt, putting this thing together. Really excited. I think I've gotten to talk with each one of you guys. I've had you all on my shows. So this is awesome, man. You know where to find me, Dangerous World Podcast on all podcasting platforms. Always pushing the Patreon. Dangerous World Store is a fun website to go to if you want to buy a shirt.
Check it out right here.
Yeah, dude. If you want to fucking, yeah, there you go. Yeah, so hoodies are coming out too. That's going to be a fun thing. And yeah, just been lagging a little bit, had some shit go down. So I had to recalibrate and get some stuff going. So we're going to be good to go here in the future. And again, just can't thank you guys enough. You guys are awesome, man. Like I said, I got more friends around the country than I have in my own state at this point in my podcasting career. So it's pretty fucking cool. Dude,
for sure.
Excellent. Thank you all. And you can find me at the Great Deception Podcast on Instagram and on most platforms.